You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And the Denver Broncos have taken Super Bowl 50.
All right, you are Locked On Broncos. It's Friday, and it's time to drop some knowledge. I am Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com. With me is my co-host, Luke Polglaze. This guy's a semi-pro football coach. He's an NFL draft analyst. He's a Broncos dude. Luke, how are you, my friend?
It is Friday. I cannot complain one bit. It is good to be here.
Locked On Broncos isn't here to just report the news. We're here to give you a more in-depth, analytical look, you guessed it, at your favorite team, the Broncos. So be sure to tell your friends about the show. Help us grow this thing. Share the episodes on social media, because we're committed to bringing you a daily podcast focusing entirely on the Denver Broncos 5 days a week minimum. And Luke and I, we're crazy about football, and the truth is we're just as sick and maniacal about the Broncos as you, our listeners, are. Now, the home of Locked On Broncos, of course, is Audio Boom. Make sure to subscribe. Also, do so on iTunes and Stitcher, because there's 4 games left on the docket, and you're not going to want to miss a single episode. All right, we're pleased to welcome in a friend, Greg Arias, one-third of the Locked On Titans triumvirate. Greg, thanks for joining us. How are you, my friend?
I'm well, and thanks for the invitation to join you guys tonight.
Absolutely. You know, this Titans team has really struggled to come up with an offensive identity over the last few years. They've gone through Kerry Collins, you know, Vince Young, Zach Mettenberger, Jake Locker, of course, and then going way back, Steve McNair, Air McNair, of course. Now, this team has seemed to have has discovered its rhythm. And that takes two forms for this team, it seems, from the outside looking in. You have the second-year QB, Marcus Mariota, and the exotic smash mouth that Mike Mularkey has been so laudatory of. Walk us through briefly, Greg, the impact that both of these guys have had on the offense, Mularkey and Mariota.
Well, it starts, obviously, with Marcus and what he's been able to do. Because if you go back and look at the numbers through the first 4 weeks of the season, he struggled a little bit. But since week 5, moving forward through week 12 of the season, he has been as good as any quarterback in the NFL statistically in what he's doing. And that includes Tom Brady. And that's pretty high praise when you can put any quarterback in that level. And certainly he's got a long way to go to obviously reach the career success of a Brady. But right now he's playing very good football, and that's allowed the Titans to have a little bit of a passing game, even though they don't necessarily have the greatest group of receivers in the NFL, to pair with the running game. And as you mentioned, Mike Mularkey's smash mouth or exotic smash mouth and what they're getting out of DeMarco Murray. So it's really been a good mix and an interesting interesting pairing, if you will. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there momentarily, for this offense and what they've been able to do at this point in time. And you know, obviously it can only get better as they add a few more pieces to the puzzle to try to improve the offense coming up as they go along.
Well, and part of that exotic smash mouth, it would seem, is has been the impact that three relatively new Tennessee guys have had on this team. And I'd say that would be probably running backs DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry, and then, of course, the tackle, Jack Conklin. These guys have all really showed up in their first seasons with the team. Murray's already over 1,000 yards. And the Titans' defense over the last couple of years, much like the Broncos, has benefited from the input of a wise, you know, old defensive coordinator who's revolutionized the 3-4 defense as we know it. In the case of the Broncos, that's Wade Phillips. For the Titans, that's the zone blitz extraordinaire Dick LeBeau. What has he brought to the unit, Greg?
Well, he's brought a lot to this unit. Obviously, the experience and the knowledge and just the respect that his name entails in NFL circles when you talk about Dick LeBeau and what he's meant to Pittsburgh, obviously, in the Super Bowl championships that he won with those guys out there. And he's got the respect of this young defensive unit. He has brought some good things out in some younger players. Of course, Jarrell Casey last year made his first Pro Bowl under Dick LeBeau. He was a guy that had come along year after year so far through his NFL career, but really took off last season and is having another banner year this year. Now, you might not know it by just looking at the statistical numbers of what he's doing as far as tackles and things. But his presence on that defensive line has certainly opened up things for other guys to be able to do some things and make this defense better. Now, there's still a long way to go, and certainly the secondary is pretty bad. But still, this defense has done much better than a lot of people probably thought they would, considering the limitations and the holes they have on the back end.
Now, if I could bottle up some kind of essence of Delanie Walker, I would probably make $1 million here. I mean, this guy is, he's 32 years old, having about 650 yards this year, six TDs. I mean, at the tight end position, talk about an ageless wonder here. In my opinion, he's always been a little bit underrated as an offensive weapon. How has he looked in this exotic smash mouth system for Tennessee?
Well, he has been everything that you would want for a tight end, especially you mentioned 32 years old. The guy is a workout warrior. He is in great physical condition, and he gives them that solid guy that Marcus is very comfortable with in the passing game. He's the guy that Marcus is, knows if the other guys aren't going to get open or he needs a big play, he can count on Delanie Walker to make that kind of play. And he's brought veteran leadership as well. You know, when you look at this offense as a whole, he and DeMarco Murray are the elder statesmen. Of course, they brought Ben Jones in from the Houston Texans to solidify the center of the line at the center position, but he's just a fifth-year player. He just completed his first contract, so throw him into the mix, but it's really Delanie Walker first, DeMarco Murray, and Ben Jones are the three veteran guys, because along that offensive line, the rest of them are pretty young. And certainly with a second-year quarterback, you know, they've got some room to grow, and those guys have done a great job. But Delanie Walker is just really one of a kind, and he's not putting up the same numbers this year he did last year. Probably not going to get Pro Bowl consideration, though I really think he should.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, Greg, Middle Tennessee State isn't exactly a school that most people would associate with the football powerhouses of the world, you know, your Bamas of the world. However, they turned out a local kid into the pros this year, young safety Kevin Byard. I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Talk about that guy.
Well, it's Kevin Byard. And, yeah, he is obviously having some of the rookie – learning curve that's going on. He didn't get into the games a lot early on in the season through the first 2 or 3 weeks because he was still learning. And obviously Dick LeBeau's system is not exactly the simplest thing in the world to pick up. But now that he has gotten comfortable with that, he is into this four-man rotation at safety that they're using, which has really helped those guys that they're not having to play as many snaps. And it certainly helped Kevin to be able to come to the sideline and see the veteran guys go out there and play and be able to get coaching in the game from Dick LeBeau and from Deshae Townsend, the secondary coach there, to try to help him improve. He is a guy that came out of MTSU with the reputation of a ball hawk, 19 career interceptions for him there. He's not really done that as of yet, but the Titans feel like that he is a guy that can certainly put up those kind of numbers in the NFL once he learns a little bit more and gets a little bit more comfortable and grows with this. But another one of those things that's going to have to happen for him to do that, they're going to have to get better at the corner position. That's just a fact of the situation that we're having to deal with right now, is that they're just not really good out there. And when and if they get better at the corner position overall, I think then Byard will be able to do some more things, and you'll see more of him as a ball-hawking, playmaking type of safety.
So going into last year, a lot of people, I think, were really questioning the hire of Mike Mularkey. Went 2-14 as a Jacksonville head coach, 2-7 as an interim head coach last season. Flash forward to today, he's got his team at 6-6 and at 500 in the thick of the playoff race in the AFC South in that three-way tie for first place. Now, what kind of impact has Mularkey had on this team this season?
Well, he's been a steadying influence in that he is a no-nonsense, straight-ahead guy, very honest. You ask him a question, he's going to give you his best answer. Now, certainly he's going to also, as a media member for us, give us the coach speak. He's not necessarily going to come out and tell you everything, but the players to a man say he is straightforward. As a player, you ask him a question, and he's going to answer it and give you an honest answer. He's a player's coach, I guess would be the best way to describe him in that. And the players have really responded to that. And I always say this to everybody that asked the question, and you mentioned his record as a head coach prior to coming to the Titans. But you go back and look, and Mike Mularkey, the one year that he had a winning record as a head coach was in Buffalo when he had Drew Bledsoe as his quarterback. So when he has a quarterback, he can win games. And he didn't have one after Bledsoe left after that one season. He never had one in Jacksonville. He's got one now. And I'm not saying he's a great coach, but I think he's a better than advertised coach. And he's the right guy right now for this team and this franchise to get them going in the right direction. Maybe he's the guy to take them to the next level. If he's not, he's certainly the guy right now that's doing things the right way and getting this team shaped up and improved over what we've seen the last few years here.
Yeah, I was watching the movie Draft Day, and at first I'm like, wow, you know, Mike Mularkey, he's kind of parlaying his coaching skills into some acting talent. And then I took a step back and realized that was Kevin Costner. I'm like, whoa, that's his doppelganger. But, Greg, we're excited about this game. I think it's going to be a tough matchup. Before we get out of here, give us your prediction. Who wins this game and by what score?
You know, I've got to go with the Broncos. I know the Titans are playing at home. They're a much better football team. The Titans, though, have some struggles to overcome. They've not seen a defense this year that will be quite as good as what this Bronco defense, obviously the defending Super Bowl champions, will be. Questions about the tackles. Can they stand up to Von Miller? Can they stand up if DeMarcus Ware, plays in the game? And I know I think there's some uncertainty as to if he'll be able to go or not, but still, they struggled against good defenses. They struggled against the Texans earlier this season, who have a pretty good defense. It's nowhere near as good as Denver's. So I'm going to take the Broncos, even though I think the Broncos have some issues on offense, certainly with the quarterback position, the unknowns, if Trevor Siemian will be able to play, and if they have to go with Paxton Lynch, a young guy that will be just making his second start. Still, I think their defense is enough to get it done. It'll be a close game, but I'm going to have to take the Broncos.
Always a pleasure, Greg. Thanks for joining us. You can find Greg on Twitter at TNFBScout. And, of course, you're already probably familiar with Locked On Titans, but if you're not, go check them out. You want to go behind enemy lines and, know thy enemy. Greg, thanks for joining us, my friend. We look forward to talking to you here soon.
Absolutely, Chad. Thanks for the invitation. Luke, you guys have a great day.
Great stuff. Love talking to Greg. He and I go back a little ways, so always enjoy talking to Greg Arias. Now, real quick, before we do our preview of Broncos-Titans, I want to talk about SeatGeek real quick, because they are the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the football games you want to see up close and in person this season. There is nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year, and with the Broncos down the stretch, they got two more home games left on the docket. You know, if you can be there, you want to be there, and your best bet is through SeatGeek. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets, and I really mean that. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because they go out and price compare for you, searching multiple ticket sites, and prices can always vary depending on where you shop online, but SeatGeek will find you the lowest available price. Plus, SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade. You immediately see any underpriced seats, and you're able to find the deal that best fits your budget. And every ticket that you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with peace of mind and confidence. Best of all, Locked On Broncos listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how you get that. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, click on Add a Promo Code, and then enter promo code LO Broncos. SeatGeek will then send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. So go download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code LO Broncos today. All right, Luke, let's talk about the Titans here. We've had a great week, a lot of good conversation, a lot of good analysis, but it's time to put the rubber to the road, so to speak. The Titans, they're going to be a tough matchup for the Broncos. Going back to Denver's Week 9 throwdown with the Oakland Raiders, that was a very physical contest. But this game against the Titans could be Denver's most physical game of the year. And I had an opportunity to listen to something that former CU Buffs All-American and former NFL Pro Bowl linebacker Chad Brown had to say earlier this week. He did a coaching internship with the Titans during training camp this past summer. Brown said that, you know, Mike Mularkey's entire mantra as a head coach is built around physicality. Right now, the Titans are the number 7 offense in total yards. They're averaging 382.3 yards per game. They're ranked 8th in scoring, 3rd in rushing. And as we talked about a couple days ago, Luke, they're the number 1 team in red zone efficiency, punching it in on 72.5% of their possessions inside the 20. Then, of course, on 3rd down, they're ranked 4th. So this is a formidable offense, Luke, and one that can consume a lot of time on the clock and put up some points.
Yeah, and I think the real key right there is, as you mentioned, keeping that time of possession up. We've seen what has happened this year when Denver's defense has been forced to stay on the field for so much of that game. They get tired, you know. It's hard for Von Miller to get after the quarterback when he's catching his breath and not the passer, so to speak, between plays. So, you know, keeping this defense on the field is going to be a huge key to victory for Tennessee. And if they can get that run game churning, that is where they're going to get a lot of success if they can get physical in the trenches.
Absolutely. Let's scout a couple Tennessee offensive players. You know, might as well, since Luke is an accomplished talent evaluator, someone that I always pay close attention to his evaluations on players, especially coming out of college. But the Titans, Luke, they have an excellent bookend tackle combination. On the left side, of course, former number one pick Taylor Lewan, and on the right side, they have their first rounder this year, Jack Conklin. Now, I know that Lewan is a ridiculously athletic guy for a big offensive lineman, but I want to talk about Conklin specifically because that's who's going to draw Von Miller for the most part in the game. Luke, you're a guy that studies the college ranks. Talk about Jack Conklin, what he brings to the table, and how the Broncos have to attack him on Sunday.
Yeah, so coming out of Michigan State, he was a guy who I really thought was I thought he was probably going to get overdrafted compared to what he was, which is, in my opinion, a pretty limited football player athletically. He's kind of the old school lunch pail offensive lineman. You know, they're physical, which is what the Titans obviously value in their line. But he doesn't have much to offer, I thought, physically, and I thought he was going to struggle against some of these more advanced NFL schemes. Defensively, on the flip side, he's looked great. He's looked far better than what I really expected. His physicality has translated so well to the game. You know, for being the number 8 overall pick, he really hasn't disappointed so far. And this is rookie season, having started 10 games. You know, he really right now is playing about as well as you can expect for a rookie. He's playing physical, and that is what you want from him on this offensive line.
Absolutely, and it's going to be one of the premier matchups to watch on Sunday is Von Miller against Conklin. You know, he's got a lot of attributes as a tackle that you get excited about, but he is a rookie, and I think it's safe to say he's probably never matched up one-on-one with a player quite like Von Miller. Now, offensively, you know, this week we spent a lot of time already talking about Marcus Mariota, you know, DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry. So let's talk about Tajae Sharpe. This kid was Tennessee's 5th round pick this year out of Massachusetts. He's 6'2", 194 pounds, and he has 36 receptions for 464 yards and a couple of scores. He's having a pretty solid rookie campaign, I think, is one of Mariota's downfield targets. Luke, I know this is a kid that you wanted to talk about. Tell us about him and how he can hurt the Broncos defense.
Yeah, so he was a kid who I got to see in person at the East-West Shrine Game, where he was there with his quarterback from Massachusetts, Blake Fronapfel. And Fronapfel really kind of was underwhelming to me. But I really thought Tajae Sharpe had a real chance to latch on at the next level. You know, draft Knicks talk about kind of, you know, these advanced, you know, body measurements and whatever. And he really got knocked for having tiny hands. He measured in with just 8 3/8 inch hands at the NFL combine, which, if you were told your hands up to a ruler, you'd say, okay, that's not too bad. But, you know, NFL scouts look down on him. He caught almost 300 passes in his time at Massachusetts, caught over 100 balls his last season there. So this is a kid who he can get the ball in his hands. He knows what to do with it. Did not have, any kind of really kind of miscues in his time at Massachusetts. He's a solid player. He's a solid player, and he got drafted accordingly in the fifth round. But he's really stepped up this rookie season for the Titans, and he's made an impact. This is a team that obviously they have a guy in Rishard Matthews who's kind of taken that number one receiver role for them. They've got Delanie Walker, the tight end, but you know that number three kind of pass catcher right now is the rookie Tajay Sharp. Those little hands are doing work right now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Broncos match up with them. You know, it's probably going to be Chris Harris Jr., I would think, on him majority of the snaps, but we'll see. Let's turn to the other side of the ball here for the Titans. Scouting the defense, I think we should talk about Jarrell Casey, their big defensive tackle, because, you know, this guy's a Pro Bowler. He's a former second-team All-Pro. He's got 34 tackles and 3 sacks on the season. You know, for a team whose guards, you know, the Broncos, that have really struggled this year, Casey presents a very tough matchup and could easily wreck Denver's hopes of establishing the run. Talk a little bit about Jarrell Casey, Luke, and what he brings to the table.
This is kind of one of those things where you have a small market team with a very quiet media, and Jarrell Casey's really flown under the radar. I mean, this is a guy who's been performing at a Pro Bowl to All Pro level over the last couple of years, and he just really hasn't got the recognition down in Tennessee that he really deserves. I mean, this guy can play. He's a nose tackle who really he can get into the backfield and disrupt the run. He's a good pass rusher too. So this is a situation where, you know, he's been good for a very for several seasons now for this interior defense. It's very common to see him at that nose tackle, just from what Dick LeBeau likes to do, specifically as the defensive coordinator, bringing those zone blitzes. He likes to bring that nose tackle right up the middle, and we've really seen him kind of flourish in this system. And what I really like about the Titans, what they've been able to do this season, is they've gone and they've looked at their strengths defensively and they said, okay, we have Jarrell Casey. We know what he's capable of. And then they've gone out and kind of tried to pair some guys with him in that 3-4 scheme. And, you know, they have some kind of aging guys on that in that front seven there. You've got Brian Arakpo, who, yes, believe it or not, is still in the league. He plays for Tennessee.
Right.
But then you look and they've gotten young guys to put next to him. And he's kind of really played some defensive end this year. But I look at a kid like Daquan Jones, who is just a third-year kid out of Penn State. This is another guy you got to watch out for on that line. But all that defensive attention is going to one guy, Jarrell Casey.
Yeah, the onus is really going to be on Matt Paradis, and also those two guards, Max Garcia and, of course, Michael Schofield. So just remember, we told you, keep an eye on that matchup, Jarrell Casey inside. But let's take it to the third level of Tennessee's defense and talk about Rashad Johnson. This is a tough lunch pail type of player. He lost part of his middle finger a couple years ago playing for Bruce Arians down in Arizona. Now he's in Tennessee kind of helping to shore up the back end of a Titans defense that doesn't have a whole lot of super studs to talk about. But Rashad Johnson does bring something special to the table, Luke. Talk to us about what he can do to the Broncos.
Yeah, well, if you go back to training camp, he actually got into a fight with DeMarco Murray. So he's had a bit of a rough start to his time so far in Tennessee with the Titans. But he's a guy who's overcome a lot in his life. I mean, he started, if I remember correctly, way back when as a walk-on running back in college, and now he's a ball-hawking safety. This guy, you know, it's a defense that, like you said, has a lot of holes. There's a lot of rough patches in the step chart. But Rashad Johnson, they paid him money to come over from Arizona. We know what that defensive secondary looks like for the Cardinals. And he was a good, solid part of that. So it's great for this defense to have him patrolling the back.
There's no doubt this game is supremely important. You know, the Broncos are preparing for this game like it's a playoff bout. And it's going to take that type of mentality to win. Let's each reveal here a key to victory, Luke. We'll kind of make our predictions and call it a week. Luke, start us off with your top key to a Broncos victory, whether it's a matchup, a part of the game plan, a player. What do you got?
Yeah, so this Titans team right now, we look at this offense. This offense is a double-edged sword. It can do two things extremely well. They can throw the ball and they can run the ball, which is all you need to do as an offense. But running the ball, 10 games in, DeMarco Murray has a 1,000-yard season. He's averaging over 100 yards per game. If I'm the Broncos, I'm going in there saying, all right, run defense, you know, this is the week where we need you to step up. We need to take the run away from them and make Mariota throw the ball. And not only that, we're going to make him throw the ball from the pocket. We're going to contain him, make sure he doesn't get outside. And, you know, the defensive line has to do their job in particular here. Just play with the strength of this defense, which is the secondary. Trust them to contain the weapons and let the defensive line keep Mariota in the pocket. The one big thing I'm really going to be watching this week is Delanie Walker and his matchup on the inside linebackers and safeties in this defense. That could be huge.
It could, and especially with Brandon Marshall being in the balance right now. We don't know if he's going to play. In fact, if I had to call it today, I would guess he's probably not going to suit up in Tennessee. So that Delanie Walker matchup, we've seen the Broncos struggle with the tight ends in the past. Hopefully they have an answer for it. Now, to me, this is a game where the most physical team is going to come out on top. And you could argue that in any game. But in particular, this matchup, the Broncos, you know, have to come out strong. They were bested and really out-physicaled on the road in Oakland. And they don't want to get manhandled again. We've seen this team, though, rise to the occasion and be the bully against teams who are used to being the aggressors. You know, think back to Super Bowl 50 and what the Broncos were able to do to the Carolina Panthers. That game was won on the mental side long before those two teams stepped out onto the field. You know, the Broncos have been studying this opponent all week. They're going to have to come out on fire, play hard at the point of attack, you know, lay the wood on both sides of the ball and show that they're the ones who are the battle-tested unit. They're the ones with the will to win and come through in the clutch. But it's that time of the week, y'all. It's time to predict Broncos-Titans. Luke, let's start with you. Who do you got winning and why, and what's your score?
Yeah, so this week is a three-way tie in the AFC South. The Colts, the Texans, and the Titans are all at 6-6. They are all at 500, and all three of them are in the lead for this division. Now, here's the key. The Colts and the Texans, they play each other. So we know that one of those teams is gonna slip out of the lead, and with the division being what it is, you know, a division tiebreaker, that's huge. That's gonna be huge for them to have to overcome. The Titans, if they can win this game, they know they're gonna be right there in the mix with the winner of that other game. The other game, barring at this point a tie, it's happened this year. We're not gonna go there. So really, the Titans, if they can win this game, they can control their playoff destiny. It's going to be in their hands, and I do think they're going to come out motivated to win this one. I do think they will win it. I think the final score will be 24-20 to the Titans. But again, on the flip side, this Titans team, their last seven games, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. They might be due for a loss this week if you go by that.
Yeah, this is a tough game for me to call, you know, just to be honest. If I knew for a fact that Trevor Siemian was going to be healthy enough to be himself and start, I would feel very, very confident picking the Broncos. But now you got to look at this. I mean, really, the signs point to Paxton Lynch getting the start again. And that, of course, could change. We probably won't know for sure till Sunday morning. But if Paxton Lynch starts, that changes the dynamic and puts much more of the onus on the offense. I mean, not that it wouldn't exist with Siemian, but 1 of 13 on third down last week with Paxton Lynch, 12 of 24, missed a couple of home run touchdowns over the top. You know, in this type of game, in this type of playoff atmosphere where the other side is fighting for their life, you know, this is a situation where Paxton Lynch is going to have to come through and pay off for the Broncos. I still like Denver winning, regardless of who the quarterback is. It's going to come down to the fourth quarter, as usual. Single-score game. Give me the Broncos winning 27-24. But that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Broncos. We had, you know, a couple of technical difficulties, you know, phones ringing in the background, phones pinging, and stuff like that. Thanks for bearing with us. Again, Greg Arias and Locked On Titans, go check them out. We thank Greg for joining the show. You can find Luke on Twitter at Luke Polglaze. Find me at Chad N. Jensen. We want to hear from you, so hit us up on Twitter. The show's Twitter handle is at Locked On Broncos, and make sure you subscribe. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you on Monday for the gut reaction.
Mile High Huddle.